The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 20, verse 45 to chapter 21, verse 4. Please turn to page 132 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others." All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Long time ago, I read a contribution in a Christian magazine written by a social worker of a community center in Seoul. The social worker visited a recipient of the government's basic living subsidies. The social worker had heard about this person, so he had some idea, but was surprised the moment he saw the recipient's face. One side of her face was severely damaged by a burn, with her nose barely visible. The social worker thought of why he was here and put himself together. "Hi, I'm from the social welfare division," he said. "So sorry to have made you come all the way here to such a shabby place. Please come in," the woman said. When she opened the door that looked like it was going to fall off, the social worker saw only a table and closet. And the smell coming from the house was stifling. The woman asked her young daughter to bring something to drink from the kitchen. The social worker asked, "How did you develop this injury?" "A fire broke out at our house when I was young, and only my father and I survived," she said. She said the burns had damaged her entire body. "After the fire, my father drank every day and beat me. His face was also like mine. I couldn't live with him, so I ran away," she said. She found a shelter and was able to stay there for several years. She met a man there and eventually got married and had a daughter. Her husband was visually impaired. She was the happiest she had ever been in her life, but this did not last. Her husband became ill, and eventually he passed away. All she could do was beg on the streets for money. She kept shedding tears as she told her story. When she was done, the social worker got up and looked around the kitchen. He couldn't see any food, not even a pack of ramen or rice. "You'll soon get rice and subsidies," the social worker told the woman. The worker was about to leave when the woman brought something out of her closet and handed this to him. "What is this?" The worker couldn't see inside the black plastic bag, but he heard the sound of metal clicking. When he opened the bag, he saw it was filled with 101 coins. The woman looked at the confused social worker and said, "It's something I promised to myself. I decided if I got a 1,001 bill, I would use it for living expenses. If I got a 501 coin, I would save it up for surgery for my daughter who is losing her eyesight. And if I get a 101 coin, that I would give this to the elderly who are living in more difficult circumstances than myself. Please use this money for a good purpose." The social worker said he couldn't accept the money, but ended up bringing it with him because of the woman who told him she would only feel at ease if he did. The worker counted the coins, and there were a total of 1,006. The worker was so touched that he could not sleep that night. The value of currency has fallen a lot since. So if you look at the baskets of people begging on the street, you can easily see a 1,001 bill. But there are mostly coins. In the past, you would have usually seen a lot of 101 coins, a few 501 coins, and rarely a 1,001 bill. I have never seen a 5,001 note or 10,001 note in these baskets. Maybe they place these notes elsewhere the moment they receive them because they could be stolen. Have you ever given a 5,001 or 10,001 note to a person begging on the street? Probably not many people have. People tend to give more to the Salvation Army pots seen in the winter, but not so much to people begging on the street. If I were this woman, I would have decided to use the 101 and 500 coins I got for living expenses and save up the 1,001, 5,001, and 10,001 bills for my daughter's surgery and give 50,001 bills that are rarely donated and 101 coins that do not amount to much to those less privileged than myself. I cannot say God would consider me a pastor to be a better person than this woman. In today's passage, Jesus pays attention to a woman that people look down on and says she is much holier than any other person. Let's look at verse 1. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. The most outer section of the temple of Jerusalem was the court of the Gentiles. Anyone could enter this court regardless of race, gender, or age. The inner section could be seen as the actual temple. There were gates on all sides. The one on the east was called Nicanor's Gate, and people of the time called it the Beautiful Gate. This was because it was the most beautiful of all gates. According to Jewish historian Josephus, the gate was made with brass and was beautiful and grand. This is the gate where the apostles Peter and John fixed the beggar who could not walk as they go to pray at the temple in Acts chapter 3. The court inside the gate was the court of women. Only male and female Jews could enter this court. Gentiles could not enter this area. All of the courts, from the court of women to the court of Israel, which only Jewish men could enter, and the court of the priests, which only priests could enter, were all of the same height. But the height of the court of the Gentiles was lower than the court of women. There was a 3-cubit wall surrounding the court, and on that wall were warnings that stated, "Those who climbed over it would be killed," in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. When you entered the court of women, there were 13 temple chests along 3 walls. Each chest looked like the shofar, a trumpet that the Jews blew at their new year, the Rosh Hashanah. The chests were narrow at the mouth and wide at the bottom like a trumpet. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men." This was in reference to the shape of the chest in the court of the woman. The 13 chests in the court of women each served a different purpose, which was written on the chests. Chests 1 and 2 were for temple tributes, 3 and 4 for doves to be purchased for burnt and sin offerings, 5 for wood used in the temples, 6 for incense, 7 for gold vessels, 8 and 9 for sin offerings, 10 for bird offerings, 11 for the Nazarite, 12 for the cleansed leper, and 13 for other voluntary offerings. The offerings made here were used to manage the temple and purchase items for people that could not afford this for sacrifices. So these chests served the purpose of an offering box and treasury. Today's passage appears to take place in front of the 13th chest. Many rich people came to make offerings. People would have watched offerings be made. When they saw a person making a big offering, they may have exclaimed to themselves or exchanged looks with a person next to them. There was a British missionary named George Miller, born in Germany 200 years ago. He is referred to as the father of orphans because he established 5 orphanages, including one in Bristol, during his lifetime. He took care of more than 10,000 orphans. He took pastorship at a church, but found that prices were attached to the chairs in the worship hall. He asked the deacon of finances what this was, and was told that people sit according to the offerings they make. The price tags were lower towards the back and to the sides. people unable to make offerings were unable to come into the worship hall. Mueller said the price tag should be removed. The deacon then said, "This would make it difficult to manage the church and to pay the pastor." If the fee for sitting in the chairs were for my salary, this would mean I can decide whether we need these price tags or not, Mueller said. He told the deacon he would make a small box at the entrance of the worship hall for offerings and that he would manage the church with only what was placed in this box. He said it didn't matter if he couldn't manage the church or if he couldn't receive a salary, but that people should be seated in the hall as they arrive. It goes without saying that he was better able to manage the church after these changes were made. This also applies to us today. People who are corrupt are only concerned about showing off themselves and seeking their own interests. The greatest God they serve is themselves. So even if they donate or volunteer, they want themselves to become known. They think their seat at gatherings should be the best, most notable seat. Given the widow's offering is mentioned after the offerings of the rich people, we can presume that the widow waited a long time to make her offering after seeing all the rich people make their offerings. But Jesus didn't pay attention to the rich people making great offerings, but the widow who made a small offering. Verse 2 says, "He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins." The word describing this widow is poor. This word is mentioned in verses 2, 3, and 4. There are few people who say they are rich, but many say they are poor. But the majority of people are talking about relative poverty. It could be someone who cannot afford a big car, so they own a small one, or use public transportation. Or someone who cannot afford to enjoy art because clothes or other necessities are more urgent for them. But the poor in verse 2 refers to absolute poverty, which means to live off of a day's wage every day, being unable to pay back even a small amount of borrowed money. This widow put two copper coins in this chest. You may wonder how much this is worth. The NIV version refers to this as two copper coins, but the King James version records this as two mites. The bills and coins used in the UK are pounds and pennies. 1 pound is 100 pennies. But 400 to 500 years ago, the UK used mites one penny was equal to 24 mites. So these copper coins could be understood as a one Korean won coin of 50 years ago or a 10 won coin of today. The poor widow offered two coins that amounted to this much. But even though she gave only a small amount, Jesus looked at the widow differently and said in verse 3, "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others." Jesus again described the widow as poor. In the original text, this was a different word from the one used in verse 2. It means to beg for. This means that this widow was a person who lived daily by begging, like the woman who had to beg because she couldn't work because of the burns on her body and face. Jesus said this woman's offering of two copper coins was not small, but greater than any other person's offering. Early this year, I read a news article about a woman who sold snacks at a traditional market in Yeongdong County in North Chungcheong Province. She donated proceeds from selling the snacks to the underprivileged for 17 years. The article said she initially refused the interview, telling the reporter what she did was no big deal. She instead offered the reporter a warm snack and some soup. During the reporter's visit, a customer came and bought five of the snacks and handed the woman 2,500 won. She placed the two 1,000 won bills inside the pocket of her apron and put the 500 won coin in a bowl. The reporter asked why she put the 500 won coins in a separate bowl. She answered the coins would be placed in her piggy bank at home. She then began telling the reporter about her life and how she started her donations. Since 2003, she donated a piggy bank filled with 500 won coins each December to her local community center. The coins came from the money she earned selling the 500 won snacks at her stall in the market. She said she was unable to know the exact amount of her donations given she hands over the piggy bank without opening it. The community center said the donations were usually worth about 600,000 won. The woman said she gave the piggy bank without opening it because she thought she could be tempted to take some of the money if she saw the money inside. For the years when sales didn't amount to the usual amount, she added an extra 200,000 won to her donation. The community center said the woman came with her piggy bank starting more than a decade ago. The donations were provided to the underprivileged through a charity organization. The woman said her parents passed away when she was young, so she had to take care of her younger brother. She couldn't afford to have three meals a day and lived off ramen and rice that she received from others. At the time, she thought if she ever became rich, she would help those less privileged than her. After she got married, she began selling snacks to pay for her children's education and earn living costs when she had little work. Initially, she bought rice and ramen at the store and delivered this to the elderly living alone or children living with their grandparents. But she decided to save up the 501 coins from selling snacks instead. After several years, a community center official contacted a local broadcaster, which introduced the woman on a TV show. She was forwarded as a citizen performing kind acts and had the honor of taking part in the annual bell ringing ceremony that takes place on New Year's Eve. The woman said her children are now grown up and are working, so she does not need to sell the snacks anymore, but said she couldn't give it up because she would see people come and have a few of her snacks as a meal. She ended the interview by saying, "Most of my life, I was in need, but I have never lost hope. I want to instill hope in people around me by telling them a story of hope." An annual donation of 600,000 won the woman gives is not a small amount of money. But the reason this 600,000 won seems greater than it is because we cannot easily give the same amount of money for donation. At the time, the Temple of Jerusalem was under the influence of materialism and was full of material desires. The coins offered by the widow would not have been of any help in sprucing up the temple or enriching its finances. But Jesus did not praise the rich people who offered large sums of money, but praised the widow. Verse 4 tells us why. "All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in all she had to live on." The word poor is used again, and the word in the original text means lacking. Rich and poor in verse 4 are opposing terms. The former indicates excess, while the latter indicates shortage. It doesn't mean the offerings of the rich people were meaningless. This is because it doesn't mean you make large offerings just because you're rich. The tendency is for people to focus on God when they're in need, but focus on other things when they're granted these things. In most cases, people leave God not because they're disappointed with him, but because he has granted us so much that the person ends up indulging in what he has been granted. We are able to tell this when we look back on our lives. We are able to remember when we sincerely served God and when this became a formality. The widow was not a person that lacked a little. She was in absolute shortage and was someone who needed others' help to be able to live. But even so, the reason she gave everything she had was because her life was centered on the Lord. So Jesus was not praising the widow's offering, but her faith and heart. She Jesus does not refer to the widow's coins as offerings, but all she had. The lepton coins at the time were the smallest unit of money. Units of today and the time Jesus lived are very different. We wouldn't refer to 10 won or 100 won as living expenses. The two coins in today's passage would be equivalent to the following. At the time, a day's wage in Greek currency was drachma, and in Roman currency, denarius. One lepton is 1/128 of a denarius. The average of a construction site worker's daily wage was 167,901 as of 2020. But these workers are not able to work every day of the year. They usually are able to work an average of 17 to 18 days a month. So this would add up to 35 million won a year. And when dividing this by 365 days, this is 96,001. Dividing this by 128 is 751. So the two leptons offered by this widow would be 1,501. This is equivalent of 2 packs of ramen. This is what a poor family of 3 to 4 would eat for a meal by adding more water and salt. With these calculations, we are able to understand why Jesus referred to the widow's offering as all she had and why he praised her. The Lord will say to anyone who thinks as this widow, "You have put in more than all the others." Bios, which is translated as living costs, also means life. This is where the term biology originated from. So what this widow offered was not simply money, but her life. How could Jesus not praise such a person? Chapter 20, verse 45 of today's passage says, "While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples." When Jesus came to the temple for the last Passover of his public life, the religious leaders attacked Jesus in many ways. They challenged the source of his authority, asked whether it is right to pay taxes to Caesar, and about resurrection, but they were unable to achieve their goal. Jesus said he was the descendant of David, but that he was also Christ, the Messiah that the Jews had been awaiting since the Old Testament, and the eternal God that came to save the Jews and humanity. Jesus spoke about the hypocrisy of the teachers of the law. And the widow's two leptons to none other than his disciples. Why was he telling this to his disciples? This was to teach them not to be hypocrites, nor people oppressing or exploiting others. He was telling them not to judge people by their appearance, but to see their hearts, to be able to resemble God. What are we truly seeking for? Aren't we living lives to obtain the things that are pleasing to the eye, like the teachers of the law? Aren't we seeking to show off ourselves to receive more attention, like the teachers of the law who liked being greeted at the market? Aren't we seeking greater power or higher seats, like the teachers of the law who liked such seats at feasts? Do we not think that when we have what we want, that God would acknowledge us more? Or do you feel that you don't have anything or anywhere to depend on, like the poor widow? Then let us make this an opportunity for us to offer our entire lives to God, like this widow. Our Lord knows the lives we live and guides us to the path we should take and leads our steps. In this world, where worldly values seem great and visible things seem to be everything, let us offer the entirety of our hearts to the Lord who sees our hearts. And as disciples of the Lord, let us also see people not by their appearance, but by their hearts for the Lord. Living this way would be living a life offering worship in spirit and truth. We will then be able to live as workers of God and become a channel of eternal life. This is why we should live with the Lord in this tough world. Let us pray. The woman that Jesus paid attention to was not only so poor that two leptons was all she had, but she was also a widow who had no one to depend on. People envy others who wear expensive clothes, are recognized wherever they go, and sit in higher places than others. They think this is success in life. But Jesus warned against such people. Let us follow your word and not the noises people of the world make. Let us remember that the things that appear good to the eye from a worldly perspective are not actually good things. Let us be people of the Lord who see people's hearts. Let us be people who offer worship in spirit and truth every day. Let us serve as your workers in our lives, and let us be channels of eternal life. And thereby let our lives be the two leptons offered to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.